Our gospel reading for this second Sunday of Advent is from the sixth chapter of the Gospel of Luke. And Jesus tells us, "I tell you who hear me, love your enemies, do good to those who hate you, bless those who curse you, pray for those who mistreat you. If someone strikes you on one cheek, turn to him the other also. If someone takes your cloak, do not stop him from taking your tunic. Give to everyone who asks you, and if anyone takes what belongs to you, do not demand it back. Do to others as you would have them do to you. If you love those who love you, what credit is that to you? Even sinners love those who love them. And if you do good to those who are good to you, what credit is that to you? Even sinners do that. And if you lend to those from whom you expect repayment, what credit is that to you? Even sinners lend to sinners, expecting to be repaid in full. But love your enemies, do good to them, and lend to them without expecting to get anything back. Then your reward will be great, and you will be sons of the Most High, because he is kind to the ungrateful and wicked. Be merciful, just as your Father is merciful." This is the gospel of our Lord. You may be seated. So as Pastor Gary mentioned, my name is Ryan Shibley. I'm the Director of Student Ministries here at Good Shepherd. So 8 o'clock on a Sunday is a little different of an environment for me. So if we could, just to kind of create a more comfortable level for me, I mean, I'm from student ministry, so if a couple of you could just kind of talk to each other the whole time, and if a few of you could kind of get your phone out and pay more attention to that, that would just kind of set the mood, and it'd be a setting I'm a little bit more used to, so that'd be really great. But I am really excited about getting to be here this morning with you. A few weeks ago, when Pastor Gary kind of explained the situation to me, I jumped at the opportunity, because I love a chance to get up in front of anyone I can and to tell them about God and how that this gospel story has affected me. And when I asked Pastor Gary, "Hey, so what's the theme? Like, what are we talking about?" And he says, "Well, it's Advent, and it's going to be the second week, so you're going to have to talk about love and acceptance." Okay. Like, that's, like, could there be a more fun topic to get to talk about? Like, could you give me something a little bit more challenging next time, Pastor Gary? Like, I have to stand up in front of people and talk about God's love. Sometimes this job is hard, right? Like, so, but I am really excited about kind of getting a chance to wrestle with a difficult idea, though. And I feel that there was added pressure as well. Last week when we kicked off this series, if you were with us, Don got up to kind of start our series by talking about how this hope that we have starts anew every day. So Dawn got to talk about the dawn, and I felt added pressure to change my name to Midday in order to fit into the series. But so we'll hopefully it'll still work as well. But I love that we tied in love to this concept of midday, because it's oftentimes at the highest point of the day, the hottest point of the day. Do you remember heat? Remember what that was like? Like when things were warm? But like the biggest struggles of the day, that's when love is the most challenging. And so as we wrestle with a difficult text, I pray that the words of Scripture affect your heart, that they dig deep to us. Because it's easy to dismiss what we heard from Jesus today. But if we really wrestle with it, I think big things can happen in our lives and in our faith. Before we go any further, why don't we stop for a moment and pray together? So I invite you to pray with me. Lord God, thank you for this time to be with you. Thank you for the chance to have a place that we can worship you. God, I just pray that in these moments that your Spirit would be with us. God, I know that you were here beside us long before I even prayed this prayer, that you are in and through and over and under every aspect of our lives. I pray that we would only be aware of your presence right now. God, speak to us through your word, as we heard earlier, speak to us through the guiding of your Holy Spirit. God, we just trust that you will show us what it means to be propelled by love to acceptance. Just be with us. It's the name of Jesus that we pray. Amen. As we think about this idea of love, I think all of us in some way have a them. And what I mean by that is we all hear this idea of when Jesus says, love your enemies. But we all have a them when we say, yeah, but he didn't mean them. Yes, yes, I hear in the gospel, Jesus says, love your enemies, but he didn't mean them. Who is your them? You know, is it that person that cuts you off in traffic? That coworker or that family member that's just difficult to be around? Is it Democrats? Republicans? Bears fans? I don't know what it is for you. Who are the people that when you hear Jesus say, love your enemies, you say, yeah, but he didn't mean them. I'm quick to do that as well. I want to dismiss the words that we heard in the gospel reading today because it sounds great and it's a really nice idea, but it doesn't seem practical for my life. Yeah, Jesus, but you don't know about them. You don't know what they said or what they did or what they stand for. You don't mean them. And I believe that it's precisely them that Jesus is, in fact, talking about. Because if we're going to wrestle with this idea of love, if we're going to hear the words of Jesus in the gospel reading, we have to consider that when Jesus says to love others, he even includes them, whoever them may be. After all, one of my heroes, one of my mentors, one of the people we talk about in our home often, a man by the name of Martin Luther King Jr., a man I look up to greatly, said these words, returning hate for hate multiplies hate, adding deeper darkness to a night already devoid of stars. Darkness cannot drive out darkness. Only light can do that. Hate cannot drive out hate. Only love can do that. I mean, think about this very idea of presence. This very idea of what even Advent and Christmas stand for. That God came and lived amongst us. Sinners, broken people, people in need of a Savior. God was willing to come down to be near to us through the birth of Jesus Christ. You and I, even though God probably has an infinite number of reasons to give up on us, to look the other way, to just kind of wash his hands of the whole situation, God comes and is present here with us. After all, the scriptures tell us that God is love. So when we say, well, what does it mean to love? Well, what does it mean to look like Jesus? What are the things that Jesus did for you and for me in our lives? Well, he accepts, he forgives, he welcomes, he invites, he serves. He reaches down into the heaviness and the darkness of our lives, and he brings something new, something better, something centered on love. And I think that's the invitation that Jesus gives to us as well to share with others. That I do not believe that you can experience the presence of Jesus in your life and it not affect everything. The more I get to know Jesus, the more I realize how this message affects everything I do. And it's easy just to talk about Jesus. After all, myself and other staff members, like, we're professional Christians, right? Like, we get paid to sometimes stand up and talk about Jesus. And it's easy to talk about Jesus. But it's more to start to realize that this actually affects the way that we live every day, even amongst them, whoever them is for you. I mean, after all, oftentimes in our world, in our culture, we are taught, even indirectly, to think about it as us or them. Right, those are options. It's us or them. It's our side against their side, our team against their team, our political party against their political party. It's us or them. I mean, we just saw this recently. You know, about a month ago, we were deep into an election season. Anybody not miss, like, political ads? Like, I'm really glad that that's just done. Like, I'm really happy over and over again. But the thing I noticed about this is kind of the tone, that as we got deeper into election season, the tone of ads, and it was always, this candidate is a terrible person, and you should hate that person, and don't vote for them because they're horrible and they're evil, and you should worry about this person. And there was this just feeling of us or them, and it felt gross. And in the midst of that, I came to realize something, and I went back to a term I had heard throughout graduate school that meant a lot to me. And there's this term in theology called Imago Dei, in Latin meaning the image of God, that every single human being possesses this thing called Imago Dei, the image of God. Not because we're worthy, it's not something we earn, but it's something we are simply given when we are created by God. And when we are made in the image of God, we come with value. Value that no one can take away. And actually value that when we recognize it in others, changes the way that we treat them. Because when I realize that my them, whoever they are, when I realize that they possess this Imago Dei, it's hard for it to be us or them anymore. Because they have value just as I have value, not because we earned it, but because God loves us. And if God is willing to love me and give me value I did not earn, maybe I can learn to do the same thing for others. Like, I wish we as a culture and as a world would realize that our neighbor, our coworker, our difficult family member, that person that cuts you off in traffic, and even that other candidate you wouldn't dare ever vote for, they possess this thing called Imago Dei. They are valued and loved by God just as you are valued and loved by God, just like I am valued and loved by God. So what if instead of us or them, it became us for them? I mean, that's how Jesus described love in our gospel reading. And he uses some difficult scenarios, right? Like, if someone strikes you in the face, don't fight back. Jesus says love looks like mercy. And he says if someone tries to take from you, be generous. Jesus says love looks like radical generosity. If someone is in need, whether they can pay you back or not, lend a hand. Jesus says that love looks like serving. And sometimes uncomfortable forgiveness, an uncomfortable generosity, an uncomfortable serving, because it's difficult. And we have every reason in our mind to say, yeah, but what about that thing they did? What about that thing they said? I can't love them. I don't want to go back to that experience. Do you realize what they did that hurt me? Do you realize what they stand for? And yet Jesus looks at our lives and says, do you realize ever what you've done, what you stand for, and what you've said? And yet Jesus continues to love me and to love you. Again, because of that value that we have, that we didn't earn, that we are simply given by God. That's how Jesus defines love. Forgiveness, generosity, and serving, even when it doesn't seem like people deserve it. We do it when it's hard, because that is what Jesus does for us. His love propels us to acceptance. When I realize that Jesus loves me and therefore accepts me, I learn to love who I am and accept myself, which teaches me to love you and to value you and accept you. Because the more I do this, the more I realize it's not us or them, and it's not even really just us for them. There is no them, it's us. It's just us together as humanity, This is the community. This is the family that God chose to put us together with. And sure, it's a little weird and a little strange, but this is our family. And in family, you love. And if we're all created by God, then we're all brothers and sisters, which means we learn to love family, which means we sit down at the dinner table and have those difficult conversations, which means we love and forgive and serve even when it's hard, because it's just us doing what it is that Jesus taught us to do. As we learn to love, us for them becomes us. It's no longer us or them. It's no longer them. It's us. Us as creatures of God possessing this imago Dei, this image of God, this value that we didn't earn. So what comes next for us? I think it begins by, again, reminding ourselves of the presence of God. That God in his infinite love is involved and at and over and under and through every moment of our lives. And we begin by being grateful for that. We're grateful for the love that God provides for us, the love that we are reminded of at Christmas. Like, I absolutely love this season of Advent. I love the season when we step back and remember all that we are dealing with in our lives, and we rely on hope and love and peace and joy, because sometimes those are the only things we have to hold on to. Because of the love of Jesus, we get to experience those things every single day, every single moment of our lives. And when we realize just the full extent of God's love, we start to realize that we can love that way too. Like, there's no better illustration of the full extent of God's love than what led from Christmas to the cross to the empty tomb, to the possibility of eternal life for every single one of us. Again, not because we earned it, but because God's love is that great. And if God, the creator and sustainer of the universe, is willing to love me and my messiness and my brokenness and my past and my struggles, then I can learn to do the same thing for others. So it's my hope, it's my prayer in this Advent season, that we wouldn't continue to live our lives as us or them. That we would start to be for others through forgiveness and generosity and service. But by doing that, we would realize that it's just us. It's family. It's creatures created by God that have value. And so may love propel all of us to acceptance, because it's God's love that propelled the acceptance that you and I receive from him. So what comes next for you? It's not a question I can answer, or simply a question you have to decide for yourself. When we're in student ministries, we often talk about that we don't want to talk about things on Sunday if they don't matter on Monday. So I want this idea to matter tomorrow. So what comes next when we end this service, when we start to drive home, when we spend our day today, when we get up for whatever tomorrow has? What will love look like then? May love propel all of us to acceptance. Let's pray together. God, I thank you that you love us so much. God, I thank you that love cannot be earned, because God, I know that I could never earn it. So I thank you that you love me anyway and love us anyway. God, in a world that so easily falls back on hate and division, I pray that we would be people of love, people of forgiveness, people of generosity and of service. God, that we would see our neighbor not as them, but as someone who possesses value, as someone who was created by you. God, help us to experience your presence this season. Help us to share that presence and that love with others. May that presence be an experience of love that propels us to acceptance. God, just be with us. Continue to challenge us with the words we read in Scripture today. It's in the name of Jesus that we pray. Amen. invite you to stand as we're going to sing together and celebrate who God is.